You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Good news, everyone!
And I'm the Gypt Keeper, Danny.
And I'm so glad our boss reinstituted the Gypt Keeper because I was getting lonely down here.
And I was getting too good of deals elsewhere, so now all I do is get gypped and keep.
And I know how much you hate getting good deals.
Gyps me.
You hate good deals.
Did you know that gypped is a slur for gypsies?
I did not know that.
You
probably are the one who told me that.
Okay, well, I watched an episode of House in 2008, and I
I've known that for 15 years.
I'm not okay.
Daniel,
I'm not here.
Petey is famous for saying the other day, and it could be any amount of time.
I come by it honestly. My fucking mom does that. She's like, oh, the other day
in 1982.
Before your birth. Yeah, exactly. Like,
well, anywho, welcome back to the podcast, my lords, my ladies, and dukes and duchesses. Today we are going to cover...
Of any gender in between. In betwixt.
Dukes, duchesses, ducks, and duchesses.
And donks of any size.
Donks of all sizes. And believe
donks
you me, I
genders.
Have to be... Welcoming of donks of all sizes because this one over here is a pancake.
That is not true. You climb and you have a nice tush. You have a wonderful tush.
Okay, I'll say this. Maybe now instead of one pancake, it's a double stack from IHOP.
Oh.
But we're not talking about those fluffy Japanese ones that are like taller than they are wide.
We're talking about the ones that have blueberries in them, but they turn gross and mushy.
I'm talking about a crepe.
Let's just say mine in particular is a Nutella crepe. Heavy on the Nutella.
Heavy on the Nutella. It's always leaking some sort of brown.
Choco syrup.
Anyway, today, guys, we're going to cover season 5, episode 8.
2 minutes in without a poop joke.
The Why of Fry. Now, this episode, I can already force, if I could see into the future, that's so Raven style. I would say this is going to get a very high rating.
Interesting. I will say that it's going to get a good rating, but it's not going to get as high of a one as I recalled.
I was
giggling.
I thought
this was the V-Giny one.
No. That one's also great, but this one is like the classic one because it has one of our other favorite lines, which we'll get to, and a character like a throwaway character that we both love. So,
yes. Who's voiced by
Bob Odenkirk.
Yes, exactly. I didn't know if you were going to pick up on that. I figured you know him better than I do.
Honey, I've known about that for
my
ages.
Sweet summer child.
I'm Samantha.
I love Bob Odenkirk, and I love sex.
Charlotte, did I tell you about this vibrator?
I'm going to go ahead and venture that sentence has literally never been said once. Bob Odenkirk and I love sex. That also reminds me of another Futurama quote. And I love smoking. And I'm coming to your favorite restaurant tonight.
AKA all restaurants in Muncie, Indiana in the 90s. Oh my God! The smoking section at Pizza Hut. The smoking section at Pizza Hut.
What goes well with like crispy 1,000-calorie per piece pizza? Ash.
The idea of a smoking session, which by the way, the smoking section was not closed off by any means. It was just one corner of the room. But the other thing is it had the fans on, which means it's just blowing the smoke to every other part of the room.
They had those big smoke eaters that would like snap. It sounded like a bunch of mosquitoes flying into a trap. It was like,
and it hasn't. Ow. The filter hasn't been changed in 2 years.
If you haven't ruined one of my senses by smoking at this meal indoors, go ahead and ruin another with this sound that I'm going to have to listen to the whole fucking time.
What a weird nostalgia.
What a weird nostalgia. But you do remember going into Applebee's, like carpeted Applebee's, and it would just reek of the carpet, stale cigarette smoke. I mean,
it's same thing with like any hotel room 20 years ago. We got a non-smoking room one time. I remember on a family vacation, and it was just absurd how badly it smelled of smoke.
Right.
Like, I shit you not. I remember that we got a different room. We complained we got a different room. And literally the one room smelled so bad that the other room, which was just normal, smelled like brownies to me. Like that's how
it was just
a gross like hotel room smelled like brownies because of how bad the other one smelled.
It's preposterous how bad stale smoke smells. Like so when you're bad. Smoking, you're like, it doesn't smell great, but you're like, whatever, I can get over it because I get a little buzz. But when you have like stale smell or like you smell your clothes after like a night of going out at a bar or something and you're outside, you're like, that is
college when you'd be in like a frat house where everybody's smoking in like a basement. Oy vey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The things we put our poor little Christian souls through. I say,
well,
as I
good thing
smoke,
we're saved Christian souls now. So anyway, why don't we – I'm hot as hell in my office right now. Okay. So I'm making Daniel – we're speeding through this because I am hot. And we are going to move on to a little something that we like to call
– good news, everyone.
Indeed. And would you like to go – prior to moi, or would you like moi to go prior to vous?
I'll go friend, moi will go prior to vous. and I'll say I don't I'm gonna be real with the audience because you know I always like to be real with the audience. My anxiety has been through the roof. I won't get into details, okay. I've been texting Daniel all week about one thing and one thing only, and that's my diarrhea.
This is also my good news.
and just so the listeners can get in on the fun, I'm sure some people – I don't. In the Midwest, they don't have grocery market bargain outlet. But out here in California, there's a grocery store called Grocery Outlet Bargain Market. And they have a little jingle. Yeah. And it goes like something like grocery outlet bargain market, something like that. And so now that I've had diarrhea for 3 days straight, because of my anxiety, I've just been thinking in my head, almost constant diarrhea.
Which harkens back to ceaseless, unhalting diarrhea, which is one of the very first improvs we ever did. Well, I've also been I got the bright idea to order an inordinate volume of Chinese food this weekend. And I was like, I cannot even eat any of this. My friend was supposed to eat it, and she didn't. Long story. So I've just been eating like Chinese leftovers because I'm like, I'm not going to let this take
many
out
days.
For like four, including Sunday. So I ate it up until last night. And it's like the dirty like place that
grease
you
noodles.
Go that you're like greasy. Yeah, exactly. But I've been eating it like all week and I was sitting on the bus with my coworker. Paige, so I was like talking to her. The bus continuously gets more and more crowded because we left a little later. And like, you know, when you're on a bus or a plane or something, you're in a crowded space, maybe even like at a bar or party or something. Mm-hmm. And like, it just oddly gets quiet all at once.
Yeah.
Like three people
like
stop their story.
Turns off or something.
Yeah. And, or like the bus stops. And so you can't hear like the humming or the brakes or anything anymore. And then people start, there's so many different things going on that stop at once. It's not completely quiet, you know? Anyway, so I was talking to her and I was telling her this exact thing. And I was like, so I guess I'll just have to eat having diarrhea all fucking week as I turn my head and make direct eye contact with a girl, thank God my age, literally less than a foot from my face because she was so close and I didn't realize she was looking at me. And we just make eye contact and I look over at Paige and I look back over her and I had the most uncomfortable but like loud in your face laugh. I was like,
like I don't even know what to do right now.
I would not be embarrassed if I didn't think that she was embarrassed by hearing it, and then she didn't know who else did. It was just really awkward. So, and she just didn't know what to say. She would like it was like literally like the P. Coombs. Well, some things are just better left unsaid. Like literally that kind of reaction. She was like, It happens to the best of us, man.
That's it. I'll say this. Kudos to her, the grace on that woman for letting you off easy on that one.
1,000%. And she and her friend, just because her friend heard it too, but she wasn't like in my face. So she just looked at each other. And of course, I have to get out in like 2 stops. So it's fresh in her mind. And I was like, I'm sorry, this is me. She's like, no, you got to go. We're best friends anyways now. I'm definitely going to see her on my bus again and be like, hi, yeah, I'm the diarrhea guy.
Diarrhea boy.
Just as an update on my stool, they've been very much better because I've been eating actual vegetables.
Yeah, now it looks like Nutella.
It's not just liquid chunky soup.
Now it's like viscous, at least somewhat.
I mean, knock on wood, I'm having spaghetti and meatballs tonight.
Hey, you got to get yourself some Metamucil.
I have Metamucil. I just don't take it because I forget to. I take it on the days I work from home. And then it gives me way bigger poops the next day. And then the food at work you would think would be like healthier relatively. No. And I make healthy meal preps.
The food at work I don't feel like. I feel like it could be a hit or miss.
Like we had birria tacos today. And then
Sound good for your tummy.
And then I had a mac and cheese bowl with barbecue pork on it.
No, what are you talking about?
Okay, today was a bad – it had collard greens on it. Today was a bad example. Usually I do get like a big thing of like broccoli and greens and stuff, and then I'll have other sides too.
Gotcha, okay.
So I do try and get fiber.
Okay, well –
we can stop talking about my BMs
I'll allow it. Okay, well, anyway, guys, just so the takeaway for the listeners is we've both had diarrhea and –
ceaseless, unhalting diarrhea all week.
That's why I take Zyprexis.
Oh,
I wish
God.
I had the ad. They were a sponsor in season one.
Yeah,
listeners,
right.
You can
they
probably
were.
Still go back and hear that. I don't know which episode it's on, but
oh my gosh! Speaking of which, tragedy on par. TOPWH, tragedy on par with the Holocaust. Stitcher is no longer in 5 days. So by the time you hear this podcast, Stitcher will be dead.
Okay, I'm going to give you a second to rewind that comparison.
That's fair. That's very fair. Tragedy on par with 9/11.
Okay, there you go. That's a bit better.
On top of Abraham Lincoln's assassination, on top of the Civil War. What are the other bad ones?
On top of the Sithil War.
Okay, tragedy on par with the Armenian genocide.
Oh, God. No. Stop saying genocide.
I took a full class on genocides. I know everyone in the 20th century, you don't even test me on this. Baby.
I'm certainly not testing you. I am imploring you to please stop. Anyway, let us get into the episode. We talked enough about poop, at least for this 5 minute section of the podcast.
We're doing pretty good on time, though. We're doing pretty good on time.
This is, like I said before, love this episode. It was getting me giggling a lot, more so than I expected, I think. And I do just want to mention, so the overarching plot of the episode is Fry goes on even though he's done a mission for Nibbler before, he's never known that Nibbler talked. So,
because he always gets the MIB blank.
Previously, when they did he didn't get the MIB blank. It was because Leela was the one who interfaced with Nibbler when the brains attacked, right? And so
he
remembers the brain still. And Nibbler then informs, you know, eventually he finds out that like those are the enemies of the universe and he's helping the Nibblonians to save the universe. So he's on a special mission. But I love the way this starts out. It's like Fry having this like confidence of like, I'm the delivery boy. Like, I'm so important. He's like making Amy and Zoidberg do all his like pre-mission stuff. And like, he's like, give me the mission card. And it's just like, one of those like
– give me the mission specs mission rundown.
And it's like one of those old school like – not hologram, but what is it? I just heard someone say the word.
Technically, it was holographic. They were holographic.
It's not a hologram. It has a different word, but it's the thing of when – depending on the angle you look at it, it looks like a different image. So it's like
right.
Remember our binders used
90s.
To have it? Yeah, yeah. Our binders at school used to have it.
Oh, my God. And we would scratch the fucking hell out of the planners and be like
anyway, it's that, and it's a stick figure giving a box to a dinosaur is the animation on the thing. And then he's, like, asking Zoidberg for his mission lunch, and he gives him this, like, brown bag. And he's like, are you kidding me? This is the same, like, a surprise
same
toy
surprise
as
toy
last
I got
time.
Last.
So it's like a Happy Meal.
Yeah. I did love that. Fry does a great job in this episode, and I think he does a good job of carrying – a lot because there's really only two of the main characters in this other than like our quick bump in with Zoidberg and
Leela's B plot.
And Leela's B plot, Zoidberg, and then Amy at the very beginning. But Fry does a good job like keeping this up. He also has a lot of good quotes in here too, which we're going to get into in a few.
And I love that he, the way he's acting after, so he thinks he's getting ready for the mission. Immediately, Bender and Leela come back and they're like, we just got back from the mission. And he's like, what? You guys like left without me? And Bender's like, you were looking up curse words in the dictionary, so it seemed like a better use of your time.
Better use of your time.
And then Fry proceeds to get really bummed out because it must have been really, really terrible without me. And they're like, oh no, actually it went well. Like, we got medals. And then Fry looks over at Zoidberg and Zoidberg's like, they got medals.
They got medals.
He's like equally sad about it.
Exactly. So Fry is feeling like a sad sack while Leela's out on this date. Leela's kind of a bitch in this. I'm not going
to
lie.
She really is. And there's multiple points at which she is. Wait, sorry. Before we get to the date, I do want to say I love the way Fry is trying to get them to admit that like they needed him on the mission. And they're like, no, we were fine. And I feel like that's me when I tell people, no, I can't make it to something because I want them to miss me. But then at the same time, thanks. I feel guilty about it if they did. So I'm like, oh, I bet it was not as good.
Catch 22. Yeah. Either way, you're going to feel bad.
Either way, I'm going to have guilt. So you can't win.
Yeah, true. You can't win either way. So Leela's going on this date with the mayor's aide, Chaz. And he just is kind of a cocky, overly confident asshole who's played really well by Bob Odenkirk. He's got basically all these, like, I want to call them like very minuscule connections, but they're not even really connections. It's just like people give him like a free, like it's like a 3% discount. It's the equivalent of getting like a 2% discount.
It's like somewhere. The thing if you just ask, like someone will give it to you.
Right. Like, oh, can I have ice or can I have lemon with my water?
Right.
And they're like, oh yeah, sure.
So they,
like,
they show up to the restaurant and they're going to Elzar's and Elzar's like, all right, they don't even say anything yet. And he's like, all right, table for two. And he starts walking with the menus and he's like, hold on, buddy. We don't have a reservation, but I'm the mayor's aide.
Okay.
And he's like, okay. And he just like proceeds on. And then there's like a cockroach that he smashes with a stale loaf of bread, Elzar. And he's like, hey, buddy, like, don't worry. I got you on your next health inspection. And he's like, all right, great. This is on the house. And he scrapes the bug off the bottom of the bread and slaps it on the table.
And Leela goes, free bread at a restaurant? Is there anything you can't do? Which I thought was such a good line. Good. But this also reminded me, I don't know why that like animation of the bread and it being so stale reminded me of day-old bread from Jimmy John's that we used to go get for 48 cents. Fucking delicious.
So
I would
good.
Eat an entire loaf again. It was probably all our daily sugar because it was so sweet. But
it was carbs,
so,
and then we would buy the soda, which I know we've talked about on the cast before.
True. 48 ounces of – was it 48 32. Ounces or 64?
32.
32, okay. 32 ounces of pop and a stale loaf of bread. That is the Midwest for you.
Oh, I do.
And we were darn happy to get it.
I do want to say when Leela says, is there anything you can't do? He goes, I can't fail the mayor. Not ever.
Not ever.
And the way that he said that for some reason reminded me of Will Spengler, like circa like when we were kids. Like Will's really chill now, so I'm not going to pretend like he's still like this. But there was a period of time where he was like really cocky and like kind of self-important. And he definitely had that sort of air of like, I can't fail my dad. Not ever.
Not ever. Yes. Yes. 1,000% accurate. Oh my God. So while Leela's on this date, Fry's out at the bar. They end up at the same bar, Ozorganax Pub, I think it is. And they bump into Leela, or Leela bumps into Fry, and she's like, how's the date? And she's like, confidentially, I don't think I'm going to make it home tonight. And she gives Fry her keys, basically tosses them at him, and is like, you should go walk Nibbler
okay,
for
bitch
me.
Move number one.
The shittiest
thing. Bitch move number one.
Can you imagine if someone you like had a crush on was on a date, and they're like, I'm going to go get fucked by this guy while you walk my fucking dog.
I know. But that's like a classic, like, rom-com type of thing to happen, I feel like.
Yeah, but I just feel like I would be absolutely crushed.
Oh, I would be too.
My work love was like, can you? I've never said a word to him, and he doesn't know I exist. But of course, if he said that to me,
he wouldn't be your work love.
He wouldn't be my work love if I had any reality to the situation, right, where he's like, "Hello, how are you?" I'd be like, "What? Excuse me."
Well, so I love this. That's bitch move number one. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Number two is later. When Fry is walking Nibbler, he's trying to pick up one of Nibbler's poops, which famously are the same weight as 1,000 suns because it's dark matter. And the cops stop him and are like writing him a ticket because they're like, pick up your litter. And he's like, I'm trying, but it's so heavy. So they give him the ticket. And right at that moment, Leela and the date drive by and he's like, don't worry, Fry. I'll pull a few strings and get you tried as a juvenile. So here's the thing. Bitch move number two is that's Leela's dog or pet. And so she doesn't do anything to be like, yeah, she doesn't do anything to be like, oh no, like implore to the mayor's aid, like, no, get him cleared fully because like that's my pet, you know? So I'm like, oh wow. So not only did she make him walk Nibbler, now also like he's going to be tried as a juvenile for not picking up the waste.
Right, exactly. And he also could not even just get him off. He couldn't be like, oh, take that taken care of. Just try it as a juvenile. Yep. Basically, Fry can't get it. He has to run away from the police who end up catching him, not being able to pick up the poop. And he's like, I'm more useless than this trash can. And the trash can's like, you think I'm useless? Try raising six kids and catching trash in your head, you dumb townie.
You think I'm more useless than you? Try raising six kids and catching garbage in your head. And then she's
dumb
like,
townie?
Yeah, you dumb townie. And then right at that moment, zoo garbage falls on top of Fry's head.
But I always thought it was interesting to call someone a townie because I feel like a townie from New York, like a townie to me connotes someone who is like a loser who never left their like small hometown, who never went out and like tried their big to get their shot in the big city, right, whatever it is.
What does it mean in New York? I don't know.
I was going to say you live there. I don't know. I was guessing. You're from like a shitty neighborhood and you never got out of your neighborhood.
I mean, they would just be like, you're not a New Yorker. Town. They would just be like, no, you're not. You're from like, you know, like Chesterfield or whatever.
Oh,
I don't know. But
Or something.
Okay, I have a question for you. At this moment, Nibbler knocks Fry out in order to like get him to start doing the mission or whatever. But he has one of those like old school clobber things, which you see in like old movies. And
it's like a cudgel.
And like, but it's like floppy. And like, what is it made of? Because it always looks like a beaver's tail. It's always like in animation.
I know. Is it a billy club?
I thought a billy club was like a nightstick. I thought that was what cops, like English cops, had.
Oh my gosh, yes, it is. When they like go running after you with their stupid constable hats and they're like, what's ovation? Wait, what is that like floppy? It literally looks like a beaver's tail.
It looks
tail.
Like I'm a like, little I, tiny I literally... beaver's tail. And it's like they used to use it to like hit people with it. And it's always like it's like a trope that it's used to
like I've seen
knock people out.
Bunny.
Yeah, it's a trope used to like knock people out unconscious, specifically like in the head.
Yes, like it's in Looney Tunes. It's like a bludgeon, a cudgel, a billy club.
A bludgeoning cudgel.
A bludgeoning cudgel. Okay, every time I just look it up, like beaver's tail Bugs Bunny, it's just an episode with a beaver in it.
Okay, let's try old school clobber beaver's tail looking thing.
Looney Tunes.
Oh, I got a bunch of pastries. Literally, a beaver's tail, I guess, is like a type of like donut or something.
Looney Tunes cudgel images. This is gonna come up with some really bad shit.
Oh,
I really hope. No, it's got some
depraved.
Some deprecating things about Irish people because there's a bunch of leprechauns in it. But
well, anyway,
no.
So
I know exactly what you mean. We'll figure it out.
The listeners know. The listeners know. If you watch Looney Tunes, you know what I'm talking about. And if you know what it is.
Someone's yelling, it's a Bezling Planisher. Yeah. It's a Bezling Planisher.
It wants to be
I can't wait for that.
It's a bludgeoning cudgel.
10 out of 10.
Who wants to be bludgeoned by my cudgel? So anyway, Nibbler knocks him out and takes him to like the Niblonian like HQ, and he walks into like a dark room. And of course, Futurama people, they love to have like the dark councils. There's always like robe people in like a semicircle with robes on, like the robot
be-robed
council
elders.
Yeah, and so they're waiting for him, and he's like oh. I just got kidnapped. I don't think I'm a mighty one. I just got kidnapped by a bunch of guinea pigs. And they're like, oh, he doesn't know. And they're like, he knows not.
He knows not.
Not he knows.
Not.
It's just like he doing
okay,
different combinations of it. So they basically inform Fry that he is like the chosen one, or they call him the mighty one because, and he's like, is it because I'm so smart? And they like laugh at him because he, basically this, his special thing is that he's so stupid that the brains who attacked in a previous episode that we covered, they can't like disable him or whatever.
He's immune to the power. I think it's like there's an alpha and a beta wave that every person has, but because Fry fucked his grandma in 1947, technically he doesn't have the beta wave. He just has the alpha wave. So he's immune to the brain's power. That is.
It's a delta. Then he doesn't, you lack the delta brain wave.
Delta brainwave.
And so they're like, due to the strange circumstances of you being your own grandfather, and he's like, I did do the nasty in the pasty. And then yes, Nibbler goes, verily. And then one of the other ones is verily. Like, due to this past nastification. So we love that line.
I did do the nasty in the pasty. Yes, we love that line and use it in pretty much any situation that does not have anything to do with sex, just anything we can throw it in, like, I went to a buffet last weekend. Did do the nasty in the pasty.
The nasty in the pasty. So they start informing him of his mission, which is basically that he has to go destroy this like giant brainosphere thing that the brains have built, which is being used to accumulate all of the knowledge in the universe. And I love when we cut to the brains going into it, they all just have a singular sign on that has one fact. So it's like the brains each only have one fact. And one of them is like 11 greater than four. It's like, wait, that wasn't in there. That was like the third to last thing that goes in.
Right. All the facts are so preposterously random. Like, is it true that postage stamps are correct? Made of toad mucus.
And it shows
a postman from like our time, not even a future postman. He's just like squeezing and like
wringing out a toad.
Toad into a bucket. And it's like, So the brains basically collect all the information in the universe. They scan it while the scanning is open. The Niblonians give Fry a Scooty Puff Jr. to get.
Let's
into
have safe
and
fun.
Yeah, let's have
there's
fun.
A sticker on its side that's like a little pelican guy or whatever, a duck.
Yeah, it's like a pelican. Yeah, exactly. To get into it, to abscond from the brainosphere. But Fry is like basically told by the brains that the Niblonians are actually the evil ones. It's the brains who are good. And so he has to query what happened on December 31st, 1999 when he got frozen. And he finds the truth out that Nibbler was there, who was the one who pushed him into the little cryo tube thing. Yeah.
And Fry is irate.
Fry is irate. He's already detonated the timer at this point.
In other words, not irritating, irie.
No,
it's just a bad Jamaican accent. I think in a Jamaican accent, you can all right sounds more like Irie or something like that. So irate always makes me think of that.
We need to wrap this podcast up because my boy is going through heat stroke right now.
Balig day.
Balig day.
Balig day. I'm at that limit. Or the one of them who's like trying to do Spanish. It just sounds like she's trying to do Hindi. She's like.
Can't get it.
It's like everyone does something very offensive.
Very offensive and also not even anywhere near what would be close to resembling accurate.
Anyway, so guys, Google Bot Leg Day and watch the video.
So they go to the new universe and they love how they're like, well, what should we do for eternity? And one of the guys like, we could sing American Pie. Freddy goes, Go ahead.
I deserve it. I love that. His punishment
is torture.
Is seeing American Pie or having to listen to it. So yeah, then the big brain basically realizes that Fry is the only one who could go back to the other universe at the moment in which he's pushed into the cryogenic tube. And so they are able to transport him back, and Fry then is able to sort of like come to grips with Nibbler and is sort of like, oh, he thinks Nibbler came back from the future to push him in. And Nibbler reveals, oh no, like this has just been the plan all along.
Yeah, basically you're so important. Like what is basically it's the ethical principle of there's two tracks. One has five people on it. The other has someone you love. Which track do you let the train go down? Do you kill five people or do you kill the person that you love?
Which is the greater good. But remember, the one you love also is pregnant with six people.
Right, exactly.
But each of the people of the five, they're all pregnant with one person.
That's true. And one of them is Hitler's mom.
But the other one is Gandhi's mom.
It's Gandhi's aunt, who will then be his mom in the future. So what do you do?
Okay, question. What balances out having Hitler's mom? Does Gandhi's – because if you really think about it, Gandhi, not a great guy either.
Gandhi doesn't balance out Hitler.
Not a great guy
either.
He's
got some shit he needed to fix.
He didn't save 6 million people. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to go with we're going to kill Gandhi's aunt.
I'm going to save my pregnant wife who's pregnant with six babies or whatever I said.
There are no bad answers. It's an ethical conversation. So Fry
– but if you save Hitler's mom, you're an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're a fucking dick.
But not a wrong answer.
But not a wrong answer. You're just an asshole. That's ethics for you, baby.
That's actually pretty accurate.
Yeah.
There's no wrong answer, but there are answers that make you an asshole.
Just make you a fucking dick. It's philosophy and ethics. That's the whole thing is discussion. You're still a dick otherwise. Where was I before Hitler's mom?
I don't even know.
I got it again.
Oh, right. He's trying to determine whether or not he wants to start living his life as if he never left the past and therefore destroy the future, or if he wants to go and, you know, lose the life that he used to have and go forward in time like he actually did.
Right. And so I love that he's like, Nibbler, you really think Leela would have a shot with me? Then I'll definitely go to the future. He's like, thank you so much. And he's like, then why are you joking me?
He's like, if you love the future, why are you joking me?
Yeah. And I don't know why, but I love this delivery because I feel like either I've used it on someone in the past or I've wanted to, like in a breakup or something. But I love, like this is like one of those earworms from Futurama that's just in my head. He's like, because I don't like being used.
Great moment for Fry. It's a great moment for Fry.
So good.
Really standing up for himself.
He always gets trampled by other everyone. He's always doing everyone a favor. He's always sacrificing himself. Like this is a huge moment in his character arc where he's like, I'm finally standing up for myself. I'm not the comedic butt of the joke. I have like feelings. I'm a human being. My family matters. My life matters.
All lives matter.
I beautiful. Okay, that went real far, real fast.
I'm just kidding. Obviously, okay, we're good. Blue lives matter.
Yeah.
No, but it's also I think shows Fry's character because you know the show obviously continues after this, and so therefore he ends up pushing himself back into the tube so that everything goes back to like what he was used to. And so it really, but the current version of him, I think still dies or something. So it's like the looped back version of him then goes to the future and he's able to redo the mission with the Niblonians.
Yes.
But this time he had given Nibbler some advice about an improvement that they needed to make on the next mission. And so we see that when Fry is like zooming out of the exploding brainosphere and he's on a much bigger sort of like scooter thing. And it's like a
jet ski with a like gigantic like Apache gun.
Yeah. And then it zooms in and it turns out it's a Scooty Puff Senior. And instead of like a little like kid duck on it. It's like a World War II style like illustration on the side of a warplane.
Barrel chested pelican with smoking a cigar.
Like, yeah, and it says something like "Doom's a coming."
The Doombringer.
Yeah, the Doombringer.
Screw Up Senior. I did love that. That's so good. So Fry, after getting judged back, is like, Scooty Puff Jr. sucks. Yeah. And it goes to Scooty Puff Sr. He makes it back. And then Leela ends up ditching the B plot, which we didn't really cover because it was kind of not as big as the other one. But Leela ends up ditching the guy because at the he rents out the hover skiing, hover skating,
rocket skating rink.
Shit, yeah, rocket skating rink. The orphans can't go, and then he, like, is a dick to the orphans. Leela's like, go fuck yourself. So we come back, and Leela's, like, got a picture of him, which she got from that evening. Which, know, why would you keep the picture you got date. That evening? Yeah, exactly. And Bender pops a hole in it with his burp fire breath, and then Fry walks in and is in the hole.
Yeah, from Leela's view, it's like he replaced Fry's head is where right. the Mayor Zaid's head was in the photo. So it's sort of this like foreshadowing moment. So yeah, I love this episode. The Scooty, I remember the first time I saw the Scooty Puff Senior thing. It was really funny because I assumed they would give him a normal fucking space sort of vehicle, right. not like another Scooty Puff branded thing.
Right. If Scooty Puff is not reliable, the Senior wouldn't be either. That's like going from like a Buick to a different Buick.
It's like being in a I just hate all Buick commercials
going from
now.
Buick to
like,
across to a Buick.
That's so you. A heads up display. That's so you. And it's like half of these things come on every car that exists now.
Also, they've been trying to like shed the Buick as an old person
yes,
car brand,
and it's bad.
For literally 10 years.
And they're doing a bad.
And it's
job.
Been happening for 10 years. Like if it hasn't worked now, just lean the fuck into it.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyways, we're off our diatribe of shitty American
We've
cars.
Never liked Buicks, plain and simple.
There are kids who are climbing on the rocks of the park, and they are going to hurt themselves. We don't have to do a pee-pee Tom. I'm just saying these kids are in – they're hurting, cruising for – what do you call it? It's a pee-pee Tom news report for pee-pee Tom on Russian Hill. Today we've got three – prepubescent teenagers who are climbing on rocks. They're climbing over the railing and will most likely slide down and scrape up their butts and faces. Back to you, Tom.
Thank you so much, PP Tom. Thank you for that update.
Oh, wait, I'm PP Tom. Back to you, Dave.
I'm PP Tom, too. We are all here at PP Tom News. We're all PP Tom.
All PP Tom.
Speaking of the news, one thing that has been stuck in my head that Paul F. Tompkins does that I love, which is doing like this like newscaster delivery, going like, they call him and then like insert anything like a newscaster talking about like a murderer who's the night bandit or whatever. It's like, they call him the night bandit, but you can just say anything after. So you just go, they call him the Nutella butt.
I was just going to say the Nutella butt. They call him Dirty Nutella.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love that all news people, all news reporters have
the
exact
same intonation,
like cadence and intonation that they do. It's like, yeah. What a weird cultural, like profession thing to do.
Yeah. But have you seen that chick who does that? She like just has a baby. It's like, this is Atlanta newscaster. I want to say she and her husband are both
yes,
newscasters and
that.
Have a baby. And she, yeah. And she's like, we got a storm brewing, and we so throw it over to my husband, and he's like, we have some low pressure down here in the diaper area.
Yeah,
but it's like,
good.
It's like
that's
that
wholesome.
Same cadence and everything.
That's some wholesome
yeah,
content.
Yeah, it's cute. I hate children. Anyways. What would you rate this, my lord?
Right now, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling jazzed up. I'm going to give this bad boy a 4.75 out of 5.
So here's, I'm going to give it a 4.
Here's my thinking. There's a lot of good okay. one-liners and quotes that I love.
Wait, you're getting quiet.
Oh, no.
Check. We almost made it through.
Oh, no. Check, check.
It's now you sound like a droid from Star Wars. Roger, roger. Now you're just completely gone.
Oh, no. Oh, is that better?
Oh, no. Yes, I can hear a lot of white noise. Oh. And I can also hear powdered donuts make me donuts.
I was doing the oh no thing from the memes.
Oh no.
Okay, is it sound normal or no?
Because I don't. Yes, now sounds okay. Normie.
So what I was saying is it has a lot of quotes that we love, like one-liners, like, yes, I did do the nasty and the pasty. It also has the mayor's aid, which for like 20 years has been one of my favorite Futurama, like side characters.
One-off guests.
And I think the plot is really good. PD, there's space travel.
A lot of space travel. I did
there's
like
time
that.
Travel.
I also like that there's quotes. There is time travel, which I like a lot. There's good quotes. I just wish I had a little bit more of the crew. That's all.
Okay, that's fair.
Had more of the crew.
That's fair.
And other than that, it was pretty good, I thought. Four.
Okay. Well, that's solid.
Solid.
All right.
Yeah, it's solid. It wasn't one of my favies.
Let's hop into trivia. I don't think I have good ones this time, but we'll see. Okay. So
you heard about this?
I think we already said the trash can lady. I was going to ask you how many kids.
That was a good one.
Do you remember how many kids?
Six.
Yeah. Okay. That doesn't count. You don't get points for that.
That is crumbelievable.
You would do the same thing
to
me.
By the way, crumbelievable, we have been saying, I shit you not, my coworker who like obsessively memorizes weird quotes like that said that today. And he's like, do you know what that's from?
Yeah.
And I looked up the
commercial.
It's a
Kraft cheese commercial.
That came out 17 years ago.
Yeah.
We've been saying crumbelievable for 17
almost
years.
20 years. You're crumbelievable.
Fucked.
Oh. I mean, when was that song relevant last?
It's just shredded cheese and crumbles.
No, it's not shredded cheese. It's like chunked cheese.
It's crumbled.
It's like someone took a chisel and was like,
Michelangelo made the David originally.
Michelangelo's Kraft cheese. Michelangelo's Kraft crumbled Monterey Jack cheese. Okay.
Oh, I love it.
How big? This made me laugh out loud. How big does Nibbler say that the brainosphere is? He compares it to size of a memory bank.
A memory bank the size of...
It's so good.
I don't remember.
He goes, it's twice the size of three ordinary memory banks.
Oh, damn it.
So he could have just said it's six times the size of a memory bank.
Damn it, I did not notice that. That was a good one.
What was the orphan bus driver doing?
Mister, I don't have that many.
No, I said they weren't good.
I don't have that many trivia. Oh, I like the last one. We'll head to the gym and run in our socks when the bus driver's back from his haircut.
Yeah, I love that. Which is true because as a kid, like a school bus, like you have these random bus drivers, right? And it was always funny to see them just like chilling. You know, you go to the Renaissance Fair or something and on a bus field trip.
They're there for like
and they
six
have to just
hours.
Wait there. And so they're like doing whatever. So it's like, yeah, no surprise that if they're scheduled to be there for 2 hours, you could just go get a haircut. That's totally reasonable to me.
Right. Oh, 100%, yeah.
Okay, the last one is, where does Nibbler say that he was stationed? When Fry's back in time, he says that he's going to be stationed at what planet, but then could transfer to Earth?
Oh, I remember this. It's a distant planet, but I can't remember the name of it either. I'm not going to have – it's like Quintlor 4, Quin
– Virgon 6.
Quintalk Virgon 6. Fuck my hole. I should have known that. Is it my turn yet?
Yes.
Okay, well, I really fucked that up. I got 25%, so I'm going to have to fuck you here. What is the signal or code that the officers dictate for Nibbler's transgression?
Ooh, I totally missed that part.
We got a 28A. Failure to scoop.
Failure to scoop.
What are the three things that Fry learns from the brain?
Oh, what is postage stamp adhesive made out of? Frog mucus from frogs. What killed the dinosaurs? Me! And
there's one more.
And then, what happened December 31st, 1999?
Yes, but there's technically one more thing he learns outside of that.
Oh. Is it in the series of the other two?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in the same series as 11 is greater than 4.
Oh.
Which is the second to last thing that is ever known in the universe.
Is it that Kaplan's Carpet Warehouse has the best deal?
For quality carpets, go to Kaplan's Carpet Warehouse. What do the brains initially think Fry could be?
Oh, I know this one. He said they say a dead weasel or a cartoon viewer.
Yeah. Dude, you're knocking it out of the park. And finally, there are two Philip J. Fries in the known universe currently. Where and which planets do they live on?
Oh, I don't even remember this part at all.
So this is I really like this part because the brains are like, he's like, what happened to me? Philip J. Fry, I guess he says on December 31st, 1999. So at that time, they were only two. And he's like, clarification, do you mean the Philip J. Fry of Earth or the Philip J. High of or J. Fry of Hovering Squid World 97A? And they're like, Earth, you fat idiot. Yeah,
that is funny.
Yeah, that was a good one. Damn, you did really well. I'm impressed.
Oh, I have a bonus one.
Okay, so do you know what a bonus means? Extra credit? That means this is 1 out of 0 if I get it. I get to make up for one. That's what a bonus is. I will take the question if I can make up for one, but if I miss it, I don't get anything wrong.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll allow it.
All right, Senator, send it on me.
What when they're telling when they're telling Fry they're trying to tell him about the enemy, the brains. What's the other thing that Fry immediately comes to mind to Fry?
Other thing that comes to mind to Fry?
They're like, remember when these like brains attacked? And he's like,
oh, I remember the dancing stomachs, but I think that was a Mylanta commercial.
No. What kind of dancing? This is important detail.
Square dancing stomachs. Okay, I had almost every D, but that's fair. If it's extra credit, you can press me
okay,
on that.
Okay, so you got 2 out of 3 with that extra credit.
Oh, that's pretty good. Wait, I thought I got 2 out of 4.
No, because the first one didn't count. You had 1 out of 3, and now you have 2 out of 3.
Oh, okay. Hey, I mean, I'm not going to argue for a lower grade, Doc. Well, should we wrap it up? We almost are at a tight 45.
We are doing so good, PD. Okay, well, let's wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening. Today we covered season 5, episode 8, The Why of Fry. Next week we'll cover season 5, episode 9, which is, I can't remember the name.
The Sting. It's the worst episode. Daniel's this is going to get one of the least favorite. This is going to get
a 1.
Maybe not even. The lowest not
the,
even. Maybe.
The lowest of the whole series so far.
When I worked at Yelp, reading all the mean reviews that people would leave on places of people that I had to call and ask for money, if I could give 0 stars, I would. Bathroom was locked. Okay. Sure. Fair.
Bathroom was locked. All right. And as always, you can follow me on Threads for updates, which I've been terrible at. So I apologize, @themostchillbro. And you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/worldoftomorrowpod.
And as always, we'll love you forever.
We'll love you for always.
As long as you're listening.
Our friend.
You'll be.
WNYC.
Now.
Take us out, Jada Boomrod. And Robert Krulwich.
And Robert Krulwich. Or take us out.
I'm going to catch my bus back to Nelly.
Bye. Bye.